I'm not used to being a prepared student. So I prepared something, and then I just realized what I left at the place I'm staying. I actually did go to college for about 3 months. And then one day I just walked out of the classroom and I thought, I don't relate to this. And I put my books on a bench and walked off the campus and never came back again. It was San Francisco State College. That was the end of my illustrious academic career. Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th Canto, Part 1, Chapter 4 and 5. So, invocation. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Do we read the overview and then the verse? Is that the... Okay. All right. So we'll read the overview and then the verse. So I was assigned chapters 4 and 5. And actually, this 11th canto is really exciting because there's philosophy and there's philosophy combined with wonderful life lessons that we can put into practice and lots of interesting information, like behind-the-scenes information. Chapter 4, Drimila explains the incarnations of Godhead to King Nimai. Is that going to be shown up there too, the introduction part? Okay. Pardon?
Chapter summary for chapters
4 and 5. Anyway, while he's doing that, the various forms of the past, present, and future incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Hari, and the various transcendental characteristics of each of these avatars constitute the subject matter of this chapter. Even if it were ever possible to count all the particles of dust on the face of the earth, any attempt to count all the innumerable transcendental qualities of the unlimited Lord Hari, the foundation of all potencies, would simply be madness. The personality of Godhead Narayana created the universe out of the five elements manufactured by his own Maya, entered into that universe in the form of the Supersoul, and became known as the Purusha Avatar. He affects the work of creation in the mode of passion through the personal form of Brahma, of protection in the mode of goodness through the form of the Lord of Sacrifice, Vishnu, and annihilation in the mode of ignorance through the form of Rudra, or Shiva. Incarnating in the form of Narayan, the greatest of sages from the womb of Murti, the daughter of Daksha and the wife of Dharma, he preached by his own practical demonstration the science of Nashkaramya. When Cupid, Kandarpa, and his hosts were sent to Bharik Ashram by King Indra, who had become fearful and envious at seeing the austerities of Lord Narayan, that best of sages welcomed Cupid as an honored guest. The pacified Cupid then offered prayers to the Supreme Personality Narayan Rishi. By the order of the sage, Cupid returned from there with Urvasi, and upon presenting himself before Indra, related to him everything that had taken place. Somebody else want to take a turn reading?
Just hold it down. The personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, has appeared in various partial incarnations for the benefit of the entire world and has given instruction and spiritual knowledge in the forms of Hamsa, Dattatreya, Sanaka, and the other Kumara brothers, and Rastabadev. In the form of Hayagriva, He killed the demon Madhu and saved all the Vedas. In the avatar of Matsya, the fish, he protected both the earth and the Satyavarta Manu. In the incarnation of Varaha, the boar, he delivered the earth and destroyed Hiranyaksha. In that of Kurma, the tortoise, he carried
Mandava. Okay, well, anyway, he delivered Indra from the reaction of murdering Brahmana. And he delivered the wives of the demigods from the imprisonment in the palaces of the demoniac asuras. In the avatar of Nrsimha, he killed Hiranyakashipu. In the reign of each Manu, he kills the demons, fulfills the needs of the demigods, and protects all the planetary systems. In the form of Vamana, the dwarf Brahmana boy, he cheated Bali Maharaj. In the form of Parasurama, he rid the earth of the Kshatriyas 21 times. And in the form of Sri Ram, he brought the earth under his submission and killed Ravana. Descending from the Yadu dynasty, he removed the burden of the earth. In the form of Buddha, by his argumentative preaching and defiance of the Vedas, he bewildered the demons who were unqualified to perform sacrifices. And at the end of Kali Yuga, he will destroy the Sudra kings in his form of Kalki. In this way, the innumerable appearances and activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are described. And then, moving to chapter 5. So Narada concludes his teachings to Vasudeva. In this chapter, the destination of persons who are inimical to the worship of Lord Hari, who are unable to control their own senses, and who are not peaceful is examined, along with the different names, forms, and modes of worship of the personality of Godhead in each yuga. Somebody else want to read again?
From the face, arms, thighs, and feet of the primeval person, Lord Vishnu, are born, correspondingly or in order of the modes of goodness, passion, and ignorance, the four varnas, brahmana, and so on, and also the four different ashramas. If the members of the four varnas and four ashramas do not worship Lord Sri Hari, who is himself directly the origin of their own creation, they will simply fall down. Among these classes, women and shudras, who generally do not have no contact with the hearing and chanting of Hari Katha, are on account of their ignorance, special candidates for the mercy of great souls. The members of the other three varnas, becoming fit for achieving the lotus feet of Hari by second birth through Vedic initiation, Shrata Janma, nevertheless become confused by concocted interpretations of the Vedas. Presuming themselves to be great scholars, although not understanding the essential meaning of karma, they become flatterers of the deities in their greed for fruit of results and ridicule the devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They are fixed in family life, attached to mundane gossip and indifferent to devotional service of Vishnu and the Vaishnavas. They are maddened by material opulences and pleasures, devoid of real discrimination and intelligence, and always function on the mental platform. But such attachment to family life and so on is most natural for the mass of people, even though it is against the best advice of Shastra. To become disentangled from such life in all respects is the principal teaching of the Vedas. Real wealth is that conducive to the faithful execution of the duty of the soul. What? Real wealth is that which exists in... What is it?
Real wealth is that conducive to the faithful execution.
Oh, I understand. Okay. Not that which exists simply for selfish sense gratification. As a consequence of the desire to indulge the senses, men and women couple together to produce children, engaging in animal slaughter apart from that necessary for performance of sacrifice. These human animals themselves suffer violence in the next life. If because of excessive greed for one's own pleasure one commits violence against living beings, He is also attacking Lord Sri Hari, who is present in the bodies of all living entities as the Supersoul. Opposed to Lord Vasudev, ignorant self-cheaters completely carry out their own ruination and enter into hell.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Hari, accepts in each of the different yugas various colors, names, forms, and is worshipped by various prescribed processes. In Satya Yuga, the Supreme Lord is white in complexion, has four arms, dresses as a brahmachari, is known by such names as Hamsa, and is served by the practice of meditational yoga. In Treta Yuga, he is red in color and forearmed, in the personification of sacrifice. He is characterized by the symbols of sacrificial spoon, ladle, etc. Is called by such names as Jagya and is worshipped by Vedic sacrifices. In Dwarpa Yuga, he is dark blue complexion, wears a yellow garment, is marked by Srivas and other signs, has such names as Vasudev, and is worshipped in his deity form by the regulation of the Vedas and Tantras. In Kali Yuga, he is golden in color, is accompanied by associates who are his primary and secondary limbs and his weapons, is absorbed in Krishna Kirtan, and is worshipped by the performance of Sankirtan Jagya.
So we'll stop right here at that point, and we're going to move on to the verse, and which this last few sentences. So this is a very famous verse, and this is text 20:32. Krishna Varnam Tusak Krishnam.
Krishna Varnam Tusak Krishnam.
Krishna Varnam Tusak Krishnam.
Krishna Varnam Tusak Krishnam.
Sangho Pangastra Parsadam. Sangho Pangastra Parsadam. Yagna Sankirtana Prayair. Yagna Sankirtana Prayair. Yagna Sankirtana Prayair. Vajante hi sumedasaha. Vajante hi sumedasaha. Vajante hi sumedasaha. Krishna Varnam Tusak Krishnam. Sangho Pangastra Parsadam. Yagna Sankirtana Prayer. Vajantehi Sumadasaha. Krishna Varnam Tusak Krishnam. Sangho Pangastra Parsadam. Yagya Sankirtanaya. Yagya Simadasaha. Krishna Varnam Tusak Krishnam. Sangho Pangastra Parsadam. Yagya Sankirtanaya. Anyone else? Translation. In the age of Kali, intelligent persons perform congregational chanting to worship the incarnation of Godhead, who constantly sings the names of Krishna. Although his complexion is not blackish, he is Krishna himself. He is accompanied by his associates, servants, weapons, and confidential companions. Purport. This verse is quoted by Krishnadas Kaviraj in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi-Lila chapter 3, verse 52. His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, has given the following commentary on this verse. This text is from Srimad Bhagavatam 11.5.32. Srila Jiva Goswami, yesterday I think was appearance or disappearance? Disappearance day of Srila Jiva Goswami, who was a very great, unparalleled philosopher, and also he was a librarian. He put together the first collection of Vaishnava literature, and that was kept at Radha Damodar Temple. Srila Jiva Goswami has explained this verse in his commentary on the Bhagavatam known as the Prama Sandarbha, wherein he says that Lord Krishna also appears in a golden complexion. That golden Lord Krishna is Lord Chaitanya, who is worshipped by intelligent men in this age. That is confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam by Garga Muni, who said that although the child Krishna was blackish, he also appears in three other colors, red, white, and yellow. He exhibited his white and red complexions in the Satya and Treta ages, respectively. He did not exhibit the remaining color, yellow-gold, until he appeared as Lord Chaitanya, who was known as Gaur Hari. Srila Jiva Goswami explains that Krishnavarnam means three Krishna Chaitanya. Krishnavarnam and Krishna Chaitanya are equivalent. The name Krishna appears with both Lord Krishna and Lord Chaitanya Krishna. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he always engages in describing Krishna and thus enjoying transcendental bliss by chanting and remembering his name and form. Lord Krishna himself appears as Lord Chaitanya to preach the highest gospel. Varnyati means utters, or describes. Lord Chaitanya always chants the holy name of Krishna and describes it also because he is Krishna himself. Whoever meets him will automatically chant the holy name of Krishna and later describe it to others. He injects ones with transcendental Krishna consciousness, which merges the chanter in transcendental bliss. In all respects, therefore, he appears before everyone as Krishna, either by personality or by sound. Simply by seeing Lord Chaitanya, one at once remembers Lord Krishna. One may therefore accept him as Vishnu Tattva. In other words, Lord Chaitanya is Lord Krishna himself. I'm just going to break a moment and ask a couple. I noticed that you're having like this educational format, which is really wonderful. So I noticed the other teachers were asking some questions. So what do intelligent people do in the age of Kali? Yeah? Yeah. Specifically, it said that the answers are correct, but they perform congregational chanting to worship the personality of Godhead. So that's a specific, that is, intelligent people will do this, congregationally chant. And what is the difference with the complexion of Krishna in Kali Yuga as opposed to when he appeared in his previous form? Yeah. And who came with him? Who accompanied him? Yeah. Associates, we got that. Servants and confidential companions. Yeah. Like, can you think of who these confidential companions might be? With Lord Chaitanya, though, who would his confidential companions be? Yeah, and Panchatattva, you know, the four other arms. Yeah. His mother, his father. Yeah. So, Sangopangastra Parsadam further indicates that Lord Chaitanya is Lord Krishna. His body is always decorated. I forgot to do the syllables. I mean the word by word. I just realized that. Sorry about that. No, it's important actually. We'll do it really quickly now. Krishna Varnam. Repeating the syllables Krishna. Krishna. With a luster. Akrishnam. Not black. Golden. Sangha. Along with associates. Upananga. Servitors. Astra. Weapons. Parsadam. Confidential companions. Yagnai. By sacrifice. Kirtana Prayi. Consisting chiefly of congregational chanting.
Consisting chiefly of congregational chanting.
Ajanti.
They worship.
He.
Certainly.
Sumedasa.
Intelligent persons.
Intelligent persons. Okay, so. Sangopakastaparsadam further indicates that Lord Chaitanya is Lord Krishna. His body is always decorated with ornaments of sandalwood and with sandalwood paste. You know what some of these sandalwood ornaments are? Well, sometimes he's described as wearing these kundal. Kundal is specifically these shark-shaped earrings, and quite often they're made very nice, intricately carved sandalwood. You don't see it so much anymore, but when I first went to India in the 70, 71, we saw a lot of things like this were still in existence, especially in rural areas. You know, people would wear very beautiful jewelry of carved sandalwood, great, you know, bangles and all. So Lord Chaitanya, he also wore these, when it says he with ornaments of sandalwood and then the sandalwood paste. Now sandalwood has become such a very rare commodity because they've exploited by cutting down the trees. It's such a rare plant. Yeah, recently, a few years ago, I was in Ujjain, and I went to the ashram of Lord Krishna's teacher, Sandipani Muni, and it's very still kind of original place. The Western invasion hasn't heavily occurred there yet. And there was one tree. You could tell that it was tall, but you could tell it was still a young tree. And there was an armed guard standing by this tree. And I thought maybe he was just standing in that place. But as I finished my little tour, he was still at that tree. So I was wondering why at that place. So I was explained that that was a sandalwood tree. And the previous sandalwood tree had been chopped down by robbers. In the middle of the night they came, they cut the tree and took it away. It was a very ancient tree. So this one had been the replacement. But along with the replacement, they included in their budget, just like last night there was a board meeting, we had budget, you know, project the budget for the next year. They budgeted an armed guard. And, you know, it's a serious thing. It's not like symbolic or ritual, you know, that you have to protect even the trees. Anyways, by his super excellent beauty, he subdues all the people of the age. In other descendants, the Lord sometimes used weapons to defeat the demoniac. But in this age, the Lord subdues them with his all-attractive feature as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Jiva Goswami explains that his beauty is his astra. You remember what the astra was? Weapon. Brahma astra, you know, weapon astra. To subdue the demons, he is subduing them by his all-attractive figure. Because he is all attractive, it is to be understood that all the demigods live within him as his companions. His acts were uncommon, and his associates were wonderful. When he propagated the Sankirtan movement, he attracted many great scholars and acharyas, especially in Bengal and Orissa. Lord Chaitanya is always accompanied by his best associates like Lord Nityananda, Advaita, Gadadhar, and Srivas. Srila Jiva Goswami cites a verse from the Vedic literature that says that there is no necessity of performing sacrificial demonstrations or ceremonial functions. He comments that instead of engaging in such external pompous exhibitions, all people, regardless of caste, color, or creed, can assemble together and chant Hare Krishna to worship Lord Chaitanya. Krishna Varnam Tusakrishnam indicates that prominence should be given to the name of Krishna. Lord Chaitanya taught Krishna consciousness and chanted the name of Krishna. Therefore, to worship Lord Chaitanya, everyone should together chant the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. To propagate worship in churches, temples, or mosques is not possible because people have lost interest in that. But anywhere and everywhere, people can chant Hare Krishna. Thus, worshipping Lord Chaitanya, they can perform the highest activity and fulfill the highest religious purpose of satisfying the Supreme Lord. Srila Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, a famous disciple of Lord Chaitanya, said, "The principle of transcendental devotional service having been lost, Lord Chaitanya, Sri Krishna Chaitanya has appeared to deliver again the process of devotion. He is so kind that he is distributing love of God, love of Krishna. Everyone should be attracted more and more to his lotus feet, as humming bees are attracted to a lotus flower." The incarnation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is also described in Sri Vishnu Sahasra Nama, which appeared in chapter 189 of the Danya Dharma Parva of Mahabharata. Sri Deva Goswami has quoted this reference as follows: Suvarna Varno Himango Varnagas Chandran Nagati Chandran Gadi. In his early pastimes, he appears as a householder with a golden complexion. His limbs are beautiful, and his body smeared with the pulp of sandalwood seems like molten gold. He has also quoted Sannyasa Krik Shama Shanto Nishta Shanti Parayana. In his later pastimes, he accepts the sannyas order, and he is equipoised and peaceful. He is the highest abode of peace and devotion, for he silences the impersonalist non-devotees. Why would he want to silence the impersonalist non-devotees? Okay, but what does that mean? Why is it offensive? What is it these impersonalist non-devotees do that is particularly offensive? Yeah, same with these things. And also they quite often will say that anyway, you know, actually in the end Krishna has no form. You know, because they can't accept that there's a transcendental form. You know, they understand the material is temporary, they understand asat, but they don't actually understand sat, the permanence of spiritual form. So therefore they're denying, you know, ultimately, even though they're saying I'll become God, they're denying the existence of God by saying he is formless. So that is offensive. Of course, it's like, you know, if I came up to you and said, you know, you don't exist. You know, we say you're not the body, that's true, but you don't exist. How would you feel? So, what does one do simply by seeing Lord Chaitanya? Well, yeah. And what happens when you chant Hare Krishna? What do you remember? Yeah. So, What is Lord Chaitanya's body always decorated with? Sandalwood ornaments and sandalwood paste. And how is the Lord subduing demoniac personalities in this age? But what kind of beauty? It gives a description of his beauty. It's a super excellent beauty. All of that means together is super excellent beauty. And it said, because he's all attractive, the demigods live with him as his companion, so he's never alone. I wanted to, because we have a few minutes here, very few minutes left, like the Lord comes with his companions, he doesn't come alone, and although he appears at certain specific times, he also appears at other times in different forms, or he sends his representatives. He appears in the form of like Srimad Bhagavatam in the literary form, and he sends his representatives also to help him complete his mission and spread his mission. Of course, one such empowered representative, and these representatives are empowered. Usually they're sent to achieve or accomplish a specific goal, specifically sent by the Lord. So this empowerment, they're known as Shaktavesh Avatar. So one such Shaktavesh Avatar, Srila Prabhupada, sent by Lord Chaitanya, to assist him in spreading the Sankirtan movement. So it is not just some ritualistic performance in the morning. We'll wave some incense and a light, put a flower in front of him. But, this is actually a deep moment that we can actually stand in front of Srila Prabhupada and offer our commitment to helping him serve Lord Chaitanya, that we're inscripting ourselves in Lord Chaitanya's army, you might say. And he's our fearless commander, our ever well-wisher. And all of those who are assisting him, all of us also, we become the lieutenants in Lord Chaitanya's army. So it's important to also know Srila Prabhupada, the person. We have his books, there's audio, visual, so many ways we can associate with Srila Prabhupada and know his teachings. And then there's associating with Prabhupada's disciples, and of course there's becoming, we're starting to depart, less and less of us. So there's the wonderful tapes by Yadubar Vishaka, and the tapes by the memory tapes by Siddhanta, so you can kind of get glimpses of Srila Prabhupada the person. So I'd like to speak a little bit about Srila Prabhupada the person. We have, we're aware of the, I would assume, the 26 qualities of a Vaishnav. So there's, of course, those are the prominent qualities, and there's endless qualities of a Vaishnav or a devotee of the Lord. So one quality is that a devotee is kind to everyone. So in that regards, I've never met anyone who could say Srila Prabhupada was not kind to everyone. In a conversation in 1968, Prabhupada could notice a certain kind of tinge maybe starting to occur. So he said, now that's another thing. That girl should not be taken as inferior, you see. He said that, you see. Sometimes, of course, and sometimes in the scriptures, it is said women is a cause of bondage. So he's, we've read these things. So how do we, and sometimes that causes some confusion. It also causes among people who are not so developed behavior that is not appropriate. So Prabhupada was kind of addressing this. He said, that should not be aggravated, that women is inferior or something like that. That should not be aggravated. So the girls who come, you should treat them nicely. After all, anyone who is coming to Krishna consciousness, man, woman, boys or girls, they are all welcome. They are very fortunate, you see. So here we are together, we are very fortunate. And we have been treated very kindly by Srila Prabhupada. Another quality of a devotee is that a devotee doesn't quarrel with anyone, even if you're meeting some opposition. You know, a lot of times, especially if you're doing engagements like book distribution or other, you know, public interactions, you might find somebody who's going to test your mettle, you know, just going to really try to poke at you or like convince you maybe that you're wrong, especially if you meet people at the Christian, you know, certain types of Christians are very intent on letting us know we're going to hell, you know. So how do we deal with these people? Or people who don't agree with aspects of our philosophy. But when I was first entered into practicing Krishna consciousness, like many people, I felt this is really wonderful and I wanted to share it with all my friends immediately. And particularly, you see your friends in a different light once you start practicing specifically the regulative principles and you start controlling your senses. So you feel like you want to tell others that this is something really wonderful. So I had one young woman friend, acquaintance, who was really suffering by her behavior. Her behavior, what she was doing was, you know, an attempt to pursue happiness was actually making her miserable. And now I could see that. So I brought her to the temple when Prabhupada was speaking. And I thought, this will, you know, she'll be so relieved. She'll, you know, she'll see this. So after Prabhupada spoke, and that evening he was speaking, included discussion on the regulative principles. So after the discussion, asked her questions, and this young lady raised her hand. And she with, you know, very boldly said, well, when I have sex, I'm experiencing God. So Srila Prabhupada wasn't ruffled. He just very calmly explained to her how this wasn't the way you experience God. But she was not buying it. She goes, when I have sex, I experience God. And again, Prabhupada was with real compassion. He was trying to explain to her how, you know, and he wasn't saying you are wrong. He was just saying this idea is not really right, you know, and he was explaining. But she tried again, third time. And then Prabhupada kind of looked at her and really sadly, you know, he was such, you know, such compassion with sadness in his eyes. And he just said, I have only brought one medicine. Please take it. And he began a kirtan, a very sweet kirtan. You know, so could have quarreled with her, but, you know, there was just this compassion. A devotee is equal to everyone. So Srila Prabhupada explained that a spiritual master takes his disciples as his spiritual masters. This was in 72 in Vrindavan when we had a famous time. It was famous in that it was the first time a large group of us came together in India with Srila Prabhupada, and we were at the Radha Damodar temple sitting under these trees that are shading the samadhis with the Goswami. And he spoke to us in each evening. So he's telling us this in one of these lectures. That was October 23rd of 72. He said he does not think of himself as spiritual master. He thinks himself as their servant, meaning servant of the disciples, because they have to be trained. Krishna has appointed him to train them. Therefore, he thinks himself as the servants of his disciples. This is the position. So when one is advanced, this is important instruction, when one is advanced, he can see the importance of devotees. Advanced devotees never disobey or disrespect another devotee. Disrespect to another devotee is a great offense. Vaishnavapara is a very serious offense. Therefore, we teach to address among the devotees Prabhu. Prabhu this, Prabhu that, Prabhu such and such. This should not simply be spoken by the lips. It should be realized. Everyone should think other devotees are his Prabhu, his master, not that he should try to become master. So this was taught to us from the very beginning, that we address each other, men and women, as Prabhu. Nowadays there are some people that have conveniently thought this instruction was only for the men, and that only the men are the masters and the women are, I don't know what. But Srila Prabhupada taught us to address each other as Prabhu. And during the same time, there was devotees were coming. Some of them were initiated, some of them were not. And Srila Prabhupada addressed each and every one, men and women, so-and-so Prabhu, so-and-so Prabhu. I was with, in the first batch which came prior to this time in India, was with Srila Prabhupada, and Yadubar and Bishaka came. Yadubar was filming. And Bishaka took her initiation at that time and was married. And prior to initiation, her name was Jean. So Srila Prabhupada addressed her as Jean Prabhu, like that. And you can see in letters how he similarly addressed his lady disciples in that way. So this address is not, Prabhu is not a synonym for men, is what I'm telling you. This is a way we can respectfully address each other. And it will help us get out of the bodily consciousness. Faultless. A devotee is faultless. So my husband, Shyam Sundar, was serving Srila Prabhupada for 2.5 years as his personal secretary. And he was thinking, I wonder if he ever makes mistakes. He wasn't really thinking of this. Maybe it wasn't the right thing to be thinking. But he wasn't thinking in a challenging way. This was more like, he was just wondering, you know, because he wasn't seeing it. And now he was going to be a secretary. So he had this opportunity to be really close to him 24 hours a day and observe. And his conclusion was that he never saw Srila Prabhupada make a mistake. But sometimes it seemed like he made a mistake. There was one incident in early 67 when a young man had joined. And Srila Prabhupada had asked him to take a letter to the post office. And he came back and he goes, there's a little slit in the envelope. It was a small slit. Prabhupada acknowledged, yes. You know, he says, but I brought it back so we could fix it. And Prabhupada said, no, post it. He says, but there's a slit. Prabhupada looked at him. And he was initiated by this time. His name was Krishna Das. And in a very matter-of-fact way, not like in a egotistical way, because Prabhupada didn't operate on the platform of ego. He just said, know that all I do is perfect. Because the young man was trying to, you know, he was being given an instruction by a spiritual master, and he was trying to instruct him, so Prabhupada had to tell him that. And then he explained, this is going to India. In India, when they see a letter coming from England or America, they'll think there's money, and they'll open it up and throw, you know, if there's money, they'll take it and they'll throw the letter away. So there's no money in this letter, so I've made a little slit they can see. And that way they won't bother. No. So, simple. Devotees are simple in their behavior. Srila Prabhupada, when he first arrived in America with his little trunk full of the early editions of the Srimad Bhagavatam and just a couple of pieces of cloth, his bead bag, he would use that metal trunk for a desk. He would sleep on the floor. You know, when we would rent an apartment for him, it would just be in a bare apartment, and the furnishing would be a little mat what he'd sleep on and that metal trunk that he used for a desk. He would not waste anything. So when he would get a letter, after he'd read the letter, he'd open up the envelope and use that envelope for writing notes. See? So that every, you know, we're like the post-it culture, you know, we're just like paper. So, you know, we talk about saving planets, saving the trees, you know, but we're like constantly throwing paper away like anything. But Prabhupada was very careful. Devotees are benevolent. So benevolent means kind-hearted and seeing everyone in a wonderful way. So Srila Prabhupada, when he commented, all of my devotees are pure devotees. And of course, that seemed to be a little bit of a stretch. But then he said, anyone who is sincerely serving the spiritual master is a pure devotee. Of course, then we came to know there were, you know, now we are instantly we're pure devotees, and we came to find out there were different levels of pure devotees that brought us a little down to earth. But one time on a morning walk in San Francisco, a young man who later became Tamal Krishna, he asked him, he goes, are there any other pure devotees like you? Are there any other pure devotees? And they were walking, and he turns, Prabhupada turns to Upendra, he goes, how many of us are there? And Upendra says, about 75. Prabhupada turns to him and goes, about 75. Yeah. Devotee does not eat more than is required. So this, I don't know if you've seen the news, number 51, on the Siddhanta's memories. So Lakshmi Moni Chaturatma Urmila and Bhakti Vrikash Maharaj. Very fascinating video. Anyway, Lakshmimoni is telling this how she was cooking for Srila Prabhupada, and it was Nityananda's appearance day. So the devotee said, oh, you don't have to cook today because it's Nityananda's appearance day. We're all fasting. So she was doing something in the kitchen. She heard the bell ring, which usually rang when it was time to bring in the prasadam. So she goes in, and he sees there's nothing in her hands. He goes, where's prasadam? She goes, oh, well, I was told you're fasting today. And he goes, milk and fruit. This is what he'd usually have for breakfast. Milk and fruit is also fasting. Oh. And humble. A devotee's always humble. So when Prabhupada would arrive or depart at an airport, there would be... I'm just waiting for the prasadam to come, right?
You can take your time.
Okay. So, everybody would be coming. Everybody means whoever could possibly... fit in, squeeze in, because there weren't the restrictions in airports at that point. So one time they were in it was a VIP lounge, and it was just overfilled with the devotees, and there was an announcement, will the Hare Krishna devotees please move, because they were causing a congestion. First one up was Srila Prabhupada. And they said, no, Prabhupada, you can stay here, because we had the permission for the lounge, but we were like congesting. And Prabhupada said, you know, Prabhupada says, but they said the devotee should move. I'm also a devotee. That very humble, very, it wasn't artificial. He was, you know, like that. On another case, he taught us how to be respectful. That in France, in Paris, they had arranged a meeting with a very high ranking official. And it was in a really beautiful building. If you've ever been to Paris and you've been to like their museums or their, you know, government buildings, they're just really beautiful. The former despots and kings, they really knew how to spend money. You know, it's just beautiful, tall, huge ceilings and beautiful windows and picture frames and just ornate columns. So we're in this incredible room, a reception room, which was like bigger than the whole Krishna house, just the reception room. And sitting in these really beautiful, ornate chairs. And then this lady came in, so all of the devotees on one side and the officials, because, you know, an official comes with his retinue, so his retinue was there. Then this lady came in who represented the official who was just about to arrive, and she told everybody, you know, you have to stand up. We stood up, but Prabhupada was sitting, you know, very peacefully. She said, everybody has to stand up. And Prabhupada, he didn't say anything. He just didn't stand up. And then she could understand he wasn't going to stand up. And later Prabhupada explained that our business is to respect the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his representatives, not mundane persons. So this person may have been some, you know, in the mundane government. But he was not worthy of the same respect you offer to the personality of Godhead. No. One time, so a person is very devotee is very grave. So one time this person who had been coming had been hearing about Prabhupada, saw a photograph of Prabhupada in so many photographs, and had the opportunity to meet Srila Prabhupada. So they, in this opportunity to meet Prabhupada, had a opportunity to ask a question. So the question they asked was kind of funny. It was, why aren't you smiling in your photographs? And Prabhupada answered, but he answered more to the devotees. He said, they do not understand ecstasy. Devotee is very clean. Our concept of cleanliness radically changed after we met Srila Prabhupada. Jamuna related how she was assisting him in cooking for Janaki's marriage. Janaki was her sister. Janaki was the first initiated lady disciple of Srila Prabhupada. Her and Mukunda, they became the first Grihastha couple, and Srila Prabhupada performed the marriage. He showed her how to put on a sari because there was no one else to show her. And he asked her, is your family coming to the marriage? She goes, oh, no. But then, you know, Jamuna, who at that point was Joan, she came. So she was going to help. And at the time, you know, habits were still there that, you know. So first of all, he had to tell her to wash her hands before starting to cook. And then she wanted to drink water. And he said, all right, but go outside, drink water, then rinse your mouth out before you come back into the kitchen. And then she wanted to smoke a cigarette. And Prabhupada said, all right, but before you come back, rinse out your mouth and wash your hands. Yeah. So this amazing abundance of compassion, you know, like how many of us would, you know, somebody took a drink in the kitchen, wait, what are you doing? they're helping you with the Krishna, like, well, I'm going to go out and have a cigarette. Okay. Of course, later on, you know, once there was an established followers and mission, then you could institute these things in a little more stricter way. But when there was no precedence, the only example was Swamiji. My husband, when he was carving the first set of Lord Jagannath, even though we were actually initiated at this point for, you know, a few weeks, nonetheless, he was still struggling to give up smoking cigarettes. So he was carving the deities, and every once in a while he'd like take a break and have a cigarette. And one time there was a knock, knock, knock on the door, it opened up, and there was Srila Prabhupada. He was coming to see how the carving was going. So he came in. We had a very large apartment. He came in, and he sees there is Lord Jagannath, the form. There is Subhadra. There is Baladev. You know, the forms are there. And he looks. He goes, what is that? On the top of Subhadra's head, there was a little box. And Shamsundara was really sheepish. He goes, cigarette, Swamiji. And he goes, yes, this is smoking. It's very difficult to give up. He says, but he flicks it with his cane. And he flicks it off. He says, don't let such a small thing like this as a stick of tobacco stand between you and Krishna. Then he gave practical advice. He said, just smoke one less every day until finished. So Shamsundara took that advice and to this day finished. So the compassion was there and the practical application, you know. So what is the time here?
Whenever you want to start.
Well, I know that you told me you were kind of a strict program and they have to go to school, so okay, one more. That it was quite common in those early days for parents to be really alarmed. And it's probably now, you know, parents maybe in some cases get alarmed. Somebody joins this movement. But, you know, it was barely a movement at that point. And somebody joined, you know, your kid. The parents would come. They would, like, try to get the kid back. they would have deprogrammers, and I mean, they would, parents would pay people to kidnap their children and do really horrible things. I mean, you wouldn't believe. I mean, things like electrical shocks to them, force them to eat meat, force them to have sex. I mean, to deprogram. So this was from a person who's supposed to love you, called your parents, you know. Anyway, these parents, they weren't that drastic. They came to Prabhupada. First, they tried to bribe their son with a $1 million check. This is Giriraj Swami. His parents were very wealthy, and they offered him a $1 million check. And they had the money in the bank, so he said, no, thank you. So they came to Prabhupada, and by the end of the darshan, they were completely won over. And they left, they had come in the room with a mission to get their son back, and they left the room smiling. So as they left, Hari Sari said, Srila Prabhupada, everyone just loves you. And Prabhupada answered, yes, because I love everyone. So this is, I think, a signature of a Vaishnava, everyone's well-wisher, everyone's dearest friend. And actually, we love everyone, because within the heart of every living being is Lord Krishna, the Super Soul. So what is not to love? Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Thank you very much. All glories to the Krishna house.